Welcome to Code Splitters Podcast. I'm Paul.
I'm Mikkel.
And I'm Kevin.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Code Splitters Podcast. So the last couple of times we've had some guests on, which was really nice. And we'll definitely do that again in the future. Today, we're back to the regular crew, so to speak. So it's Mikkel and Paul and myself. And today we wanted to talk a little bit about some CSS-related things, mostly post-CSS and SAS, and a little bit how they compare and how we've been using them and what we think is good and maybe not that great about one or the other, because they end up doing some very similar things, but in a bit of a different way. So I want to talk a bit about that. But first of all, since it's us again without a guest, I'm curious to hear what you guys been up to since last time.
Yeah. As you said, there's been a couple of guests on the last few times, and that's been a load of fun. So we haven't had these talks, and the default is either garden work or pizza, but it's freezing outside, so no garden work or pizza either. But no, I've actually been nerding a bit, playing games mostly, as I do besides work as well. I know you have too, Kevin. So there's that, and then there's been getting ready for the holidays and all that sort of stuff. and I think programming-wise, I haven't really done anything new and exciting there. I've mostly been following what's been going on in the Angular world. Actually, a lot of movement in that regard. So that's been my days, more or less, looking into some accessibility and learning some stuff about accessibility where I was like, gosh, I did not know that, and we should probably do that. I know there's a lot of those in accessibility. Of course, it's deep and there's a lot of things to cover, but there were things where I'm like, oh, we got that covered. We didn't. So some aha moments, but I think that's pretty much it for me.
Great. What about you, Mikkel?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think I have been really busy for quite some time now, but what have I actually been doing? I'm not sure, besides working.
Meetings. So,
yeah, lots of meetings. But like today, it's really, really cold outside. It's almost minus 10 degrees Celsius. So that's really cold. So my dog is having fun in the first snow, or actually it's the second now. But it's always fun to see a dog when it sees snow and frost for the first time. So that's fun.
You actually have snow right now at yours?
A little bit, tiny bit.
Okay, yeah. Okay, we don't have any snow at all. It's just frost.
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
Actually I can join the gaming team a tiny bit. I have not been playing mobile games, like games on my phone, like at all, like almost ever. But actually I tried there's this Diablo Immortals. Yeah. A game that I tried because I used to play Diablo 2 back in the really old days, and I found that quite fun. So I wanted to try it out and see, and I thought, well, it's probably not that fun, but actually it's actually quite fun, and I think it may be also quite nostalgic for me or something, but I'm having a lot of fun playing it here and there. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. So yeah,
that's it. We're a gaming podcast now. No, but it is a cool game. It's actually I was amazed at how good it looks on mobile as well. Right, I haven't played much mobile normally either, but it looks really good. Yeah,
yeah, and that's, also that cool, I think the gameplay is really good, and it's really you get the feeling that I got back in the days, like. I think it's very much the same, both with the, of course it looks better and so on, but it's pretty much the same, and it's great. And I found out that you can actually like do cross-platform, so you can, when you're logged in, you can play, you can continue the game on your PC or whatever. So that's kind of cool.
Awesome. Yeah, and we can play it together if you want. Not that I've played it much, but that could be fun someday.
Yeah, definitely.
Sweet. It's not only code will be splitting then, if you get one.
Oh, it's the skulls of demons.
Yes. That's skulls cool. I also played a lot of... I also played a lot of Diablo 2 back in the day. Actually, nice. Diablo 4 is going to come out as well next year. I think in June now, they set a date.
So oh, is it already
June? That's going to be quite cool. Yeah, for now. Let's see.
Ah, okay. Yeah. You never know, of course.
Yeah. But yeah, cool. I think for me also, since it's winter, video games have been the bulk of my free time that I have. Because when it's cold outside and stuff like that. So apart from that, I don't think I've been up to that much. So let's dive into our topics for today.
I have one question, Kevin.
You have a question?
I have one question. one question. No, it's just because I know what we've been playing has been God of War. And we haven't talked about that a lot the last few days. But have you actually completed God of War Ragnarok? Or did you just sort of stop and haven't completed it yet?
No, I kind of stopped, and now World of Warcraft has taken over for a while.
Okay, because I was waiting for you to get to that point where I could also sort of discuss the ending with you and be like,
that'll come, but you know, MMOs and FOMO and stuff, so I have to
that's
a little bit. But that's a whole other discussion. I wasn't gonna play the new World of Warcraft expansion, actually, and then 2 days before, a friend is like, "Oh, are you gonna jump in? I'm gonna jump back in," and another friend is as well, and I was like, "Fuck, here we go again." So yeah,
yeah, I got the message from Kevin like, "Yeah, so I'm playing WoW again." It's like, "Oh, great."
So
you'll never see him again.
Yeah, exactly. Haven't heard from him in days. No,
no, I'm actually taking it easy this time because I'm not gonna do all the scheduled raiding and stuff. I don't have time for that. So I'm just taking it easy, and it's actually quite fun. But maybe that's a topic for another day. I think we should get into into some front-end stuff. And today, we, as I mentioned, we wanted to talk a little bit about CSS and mostly what can extend your CSS. Because in the last, especially in the last 1 or 2 years, there's been a lot of features that have come to CSS and that are ready to come in within the next few years. Some cool things we've been talking about, like container queries and all that niceness. But it's still necessary, I think, in some cases, to extend the vanilla CSS setup you have in a project. And for me personally, I've been using Sass quite a lot back in the day, for many years. Many years. I haven't been a developer for that long, but quite some years. And I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about Sass and also Post CSS, because I've been using that quite a lot recently. The reason for that, personally, is because, as you know, I'm using Tailwind quite a lot, and Tailwind is a post CSS package. So then I started thinking, instead of putting Sass on top of that, then you kind of have two compile steps where post CSS does its thing and Sass does its thing, I guess the other way around. And then I thought, can post CSS actually do what I need on top of the CSS, since then it's more, then I'm only using one tool to manipulate my CSS or compile it. So that's kind of why I got into it, and why I wanted to talk a little bit about it. And maybe I'll just very quickly, I don't want this to be like a completely like pros and cons. I think it's more of an open discussion on like, how do we use the different tools, but, quickly just wanted to give an intro for people who are a bit, or maybe don't know exactly what is what. So Sass is like what you call a preprocessor for CSS, or kind of like an extension language to CSS. that allows you to do some cool stuff on top of vanilla CSS, like variables. Now we have custom properties, but a couple of years back, variables was something you had to use something else for, things like nesting, conditionals, functions, or mix-ins, and things like that, all the niceness. And Post CSS does it a bit differently. It's actually a JavaScript library that transforms your CSS into JavaScript and JavaScript objects that they then manipulate, and then you can compile it back out into CSS. And I think the big difference for me in using them is CSS is kind of, you get everything out of the box, like all these features. It's just you can start using them and then let your build step do its thing, and then you get CSS out of it. Whereas Post CSS is more like you start with vanilla JavaScript and then you can add things on top, like one at a time. Like you can install, there's a list of there's many Post CSS plugins that people write, and then you can extend that. So I guess the niceness about that is, for me, that it's a bit more, I guess, how we're used to using JavaScript now as well, where we kind of start with vanilla JavaScript or a framework, and then we add packages on top for what we need. So it's a bit more easily extendable than SAS is, because with SAS, it's more like you get everything out of the box, so you need to wait for SAS to support something before you can use it. Whereas Post CSS, it's more, I guess, open source in a way, or more like people can write a little plugin that you can then use and things like that. So that's what I kind of liked, that you start out very close to vanilla CSS, and then you kind of take in packages like, okay, now I want to use nesting. Then you install the nesting plugin and you kind of get going like that. That was kind of a little bit the intro and why I started to mess around a bit with Post CSS. And I'd like to hear from you guys what your experience has been so far. What have you worked with mostly? Has it been SAS, or also Stylus is another one, or things like that? Or are you try to keep it to vanilla CSS as much as possible? If you tried Post CSS?
I started out, actually, when talking about pre-processes, I started out with the less, actually, back in the days. And then moved on to projects that had Stylus and SAS. So I tried a few different ones. And I think the first time I tried out Post CSS, it was because that I needed the auto prefixer package, or like a plugin. So I think, if I remember correctly, that's what I have been using it for the most in the beginning. Like for adding vendor prefixes to your style, so you don't have to write all that out and have to delete it again once the support is better. But now we are moving away from vendor prefixes, but there are still a use for it, I think. Haven't looked into it recently, but I think there is still a use case for having the auto prefixer enabled still. So, I think Post CSS is quite cool. Also the extendability about all the plugins, and you can do custom plugins and so on. I don't know if you can do that for CSS. I don't think I've seen it, actually.
I don't think so either.
No,
it doesn't look like it's that easily extendable or not, from what I know.
No. So yeah.
Awesome. I think, and you mentioned, because I was like, oh, there was Stylus, there was SAS, and then I was like, I forgot the last one, but that was Less. That's correct, yeah. From more or less around the same time, I guess. I think I remember when I started out, it was, vanilla CSS back then. And then I think we went over to CSS, and it was because we were all full stack where I worked. And I think some of the mythologies and the structure of CSS just felt cool. Reminded us of the things we worked on in back end. So it was natural for us to do it like that. Be- also because of the variables and stuff like that, it made it a little easier to have that around. And also combine our CSS style sheets and stuff like that was a little easier with SAS before all the build systems and stuff like that, right? So that sort of helped us out there too as well. And then I actually think my sort of entry into PostCSS was just because of Angular, you know, like, you know, again, Webpack bundling, all that sort of stuff all there. When you start up some of these projects, Angular included, you know, you get all these things behind the scenes. So Angular can handle, you know, SAS files and stuff like that and components. So it uses that beneath, but there's also PostCSS. And I think you said it, Miguel, it's because of auto prefixer, right? That package has been pretty cool there, adding these prefixes. If you needed them based on a browser's list file, that's another thing, right? Everything combined in this little ecosystem. And I think as of late, we still have SAS files in the project, but when I'm writing new CSS now, I'm just writing vanilla CSS because I have really no need for like deep nesting or the parent selectors or you know, the variables, because we have, you know, CSS custom properties now or custom variables that we are using instead. And those can be used within Tailwind as well. I know there are some caveats that Kevin mentioned to me a couple of weeks ago. But for the most part, that works for us. And I actually really like writing it like that. Also because we're using web components and we're using Lit. And Lit, I think there are plugins to work with SAS and stuff like that. But when I read into it a while back, it was a little tedious and there was we had to do some workarounds and stuff like that. So I just like, nope, just going to write it vanilla. Much easier, especially because we had the variables that we could share anyways. So I think that's sort of my entry into it. So I think SAS was just kind of like a, well, this is cool. We're going to use this. There was really no background behind that. And now it's just because, you know, it's part of the tooling that we're using. So it's really not, at least for me, not really a choice. It's just there.
One fun thing I just remembered about SAS is that there's the extend feature that I kind of burned my fingers on, if you could say it like that. Because I found out that it actually copies instead of just moving things around. So every time you write at extend and then something, then it will copy paste or like paste the stuff into it. So it will duplicate it each time. So it's really, really not something that I'm really fond of. So I've stopped using that a long time ago.
That's so, a good point. Fun fact. Yeah. I'm cleaning up from that still in the project here and there. There are some really old bits. There's not a lot of it left, but there's still a few bits.
Yeah.
I remember when I saw the extends thing at first, I thought, this is amazing. Like you can write these little parts of CSS or CSS proper, I guess a bundle of CSS properties in a way that you can then reuse in other places. But I also found, apart from as you said, that it just copies stuff around, but I also found just maintaining it was kind of really weird because you had all these, you created these dependencies within your CSS, which was a bit strange. So then I'm mostly moved to using something like Mixins or something for that, because that was a bit more clear, saying like you define a function or a Mixin that does a specific thing instead of just extending classes everywhere. So I kind of also moved away a bit from that. Cool, but it's nice to hear your experience. I've been really liking post CSS. I think what I like about it, and then it might just be a feeling when I like see my file structure and when I'm working on it, but I like that you're working with just CSS files, although you're not really writing vanilla CSS everywhere, you're still using CSS files. And I think that the nice thing for me about that is right now I'm using, for example, the nesting plugin because I want to do a bit of nesting here and there. And I think the nice thing about that is, since it feels so close to vanilla CSS, is that if that nesting at some point gets into the CSS spec, I can just remove the post CSS plugin and that's it. I don't have to change anything. I guess you can say the same thing about SAS. You wouldn't have to change anything But then it's then you're using, I guess, still the SAS nesting, unless they would remove that at some point. But I guess they won't because it's so built into SAS, and they have to make sure they support all the possible browsers and stuff. So I think what I like is the kind of plug and play of the plugins of both CSS. I can add, I can remove, I can replace. Whereas SAS, you're more locked into this ecosystem, and you also name your files a specific way, so you're very locked in.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I think you're making a good point here. Is that PostCSS is much more of a progressive enhancement, right? Because as you say, actually, it's still just a CSS file that you're working with. So as long as you're not using some weird syntax or whatever, you know, for the most part, it'll just work. It's like a PostCSS plugin that'll, you know, maybe change the image URLs depending on, you know, where you host your files or whatever, stuff like that. You know, if you didn't do that, you know, the URL is not broken or anything like that. It's just with SAS, it needs to be compiled, right? Also because it's a different file format as well, like, you know, the SCSS files or the other formats, forgot. But yeah, so that's, I think that I really like that part now, at least, you know, looking into it, the progressive part of it.
Yeah. And I also learned the, yeah, sorry, go ahead, Mikkel.
So I like what you say about progressive enhancement there, Paul, because I also think about that you can maybe compare PostCSS to Babel in some ways. So like when so it's optimizing for future in the way that you can write a syntax that is about to be the new standard, but it's not ready yet or not supported in all browsers. But so you can have some kind of plugin or process like Babel or PostCSS to fix it up for you. so you author it in the new way, but it will be spit out in whatever is supported. So it's and then in the future it will just be removed because it's not necessary anymore. So I kind of like that feature.
All right, thanks. It's nice to hear your experience with it so far. Is there anything, I don't know if you say, Paul, you're mostly writing vanilla CSS, so you're not actively using both CSS plugins or features per se. But I kind of wanted to ask, if you worked with it a bit, is there something you can see yourself missing from SAS that you maybe, it's hard to say you cannot do, because again, there'll probably be a post CSS plugin for what you need. But is there something that still kind of draws you to something like SAS or Stylus or less or anything else that you kind of, don't have with both CSS?
Yeah, that's funny you said it, because I was thinking about it just before when we, you know, when you talked about some of the differences between the two. And I think you mentioned functions, and I actually think those are really cool in SAS. Then we can argue, are they strictly needed and whatnot and stuff like that, but they have been pretty cool when you're you know, looping over and making color maps as an example, right? When you wanted to darken a color or lighten the color and stuff like that, you could actually do it with functions. But then, of course, you were at the mercy of how that function worked. I'm aware of that. But it was pretty cool when you're converting between pixels and rem units for font sizes and you know, your spacing units or whatever. We actually have those in the project still. We're not using them anymore, right? But they were there, and they were actually pretty cool, right? You can, of course, do that in other ways now, but it was just, you know, sort of neat to have them part of that. So I think the functions were pretty cool. I think I saw, and I can't remember which framework it was. I think it was Foundation, actually, in their SAS bit. They actually used some of these functions and expressions to feature flag their CSS output. Like, they could set a variable, and then, you know, if that variable was on, it would use this new CSS part. I think it was grid related or whatever. Stuff like that, right? And I think that was actually a pretty cool feature. I guess mostly makes sense for if you're making a framework-y thing, a library thing, but those are pretty cool. But again, I won't say, I don't think I'll necessarily miss those parts. It was just I had to get used to not using at least the functions when going over to vanilla. But then you showed me that cool plugin for a WebStorm where you can just with a shortcut change your pixel values to rem units. And now I'm good. I'm golden.
Yeah, that was a great find. It's so simple, but I actually at some point found out that I Google a lot, like pixel to rem, and I was like, why am I even doing this? There must be a better way. So yeah, I found this little, I'm assuming they have something for VS Code as well, this little WebStorm plugin where you can just assign a key, and then if there's any pixel values on the code line, it'll just convert them.
Yeah, to rem. Yeah, and it can add a comment as well and stuff like that. Yeah.
Then you set the base value like 16 or the transition value you need. That's pretty cool. Yeah, sweet.
I was just going to say, actually, Mikkel, I know you used, was it less you said and stuff like that. They have functions and stuff as well as SAS. It was just another, a syntax, right?
Oh, it's been a lot of years.
Sorry.
I haven't used Less for, I don't know, probably 10 years or so. I can't actually remember, but I do remember that it was, I think it came out before SAS. I might be wrong, but I think it did. And also think it didn't have a lot of features compared to SAS. SAS was the better one, and that one also won in the end, I guess. So, yeah, it didn't have a lot of features, but it had nesting and variables and so on. So,
yeah, it wasn't as far as I remember. Wasn't Bootstrap? Didn't they start out with Less?
I think maybe that was the reason why we used Less, probably, now when you mention it. Bootstrap started out and Less and moved to SAS later on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, nice. I was just looking at like the plugin list of post CSS or like official, I guess, plugins or whatever you can call it. There's a lot. There's a lot you can do. But what I really like is they kind of sectioned it. In like they have actually a section with a list of plugins that's called future CSS syntax. So that really highlights this progressive enhancement where they kind of mimic a spec that they know is coming. And then you can already use it today by using the plugin. Like, I guess it's somewhat like a polyfill would work. So you use that and then you can just start writing the CSS. And then when you feel like your project, when that feature comes to vanilla CSS and, the browser support is good enough for you can, I guess, just remove the plugin and then you're ready to go. That's pretty nice.
Because these plugins, I assume they look at the browser's list config file, like what you have to support, right?
Some of them do, I assume. I mean, I guess they're just, it depends a bit on the plugin. Because
it would make sense.
Yeah, the auto prefixer, I assume, does that.
Yeah, I think the auto prefixer and the browsers list project are from the same guy or company.
That would make team. Sense. Yeah, that's also, I kind of have my, it's not a lot, I only use like three or four, but I have my, my starter pack for post CSS that I usually use, which is, Tailwind if I'm using Tailwind, and then I always add, I think I only usually start with three. So I would add import, so you can actually split out your files and import files into others. Then I have a nesting plugin. Tailwind now has its own as well. So I'm using the Tailwind nesting one, but there's one you can use without as well. And then the auto prefixer. Those are usually the three I kind of start out with. And I find myself not really using much else. There is one for like functions or I'm not sure what they call it. I think it's the functions where you can mimic the, I think in the plugin list they actually mention, they literally just say you can use functions like in SAS. So they implemented the same kind of way of doing it.
That's pretty cool. I was just looking at that list, Kevin, as well. And under future CSS syntax, I'm reminded of how much is coming and how little of it I know. I mean, oh my, of course there's a lot of it here that's pretty cool and that I know of. But then I'm like, oh yeah, there's this bit as well.
Yeah.
Like looking at it, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And then I fell over one here. There's a pack called Post CSS Hamster. And I just love the front end world for having the most obscure names for frameworks and lips and stuff like that. It's so cool.
What does it do?
It says it's for vertical rhythm typography modular scale functions. So there you have it.
Vertical rhythm. I don't even know what that means.
I think it's something about spacing, right?
And now I'm curious if they have mention why they call it. No.
I've heard that a few times, the rhythm part.
Ah, yeah, but I think he meant the hamster framework bit, right?
The hamster framework, yeah. That's great. But there is a lot of cool. It's actually a cool way to like see what is coming actually to CSS. A lot of things related to colors, and like half of the list is related to colors and fonts.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Actually, I can see that I knew that, but I can see that the Post CSS project is made by or sponsored by the same people behind the auto prefix and so on. So I think it's a strong community of packages and things. So that's kind of nice.
Nice. Cool. And I think I also just wanted to ask you, since I've been using it for a while now, the whole Post CSS setup, I don't really see myself having the need to go back, I guess, or to use SAS or add it on. I guess you can also use both if you really want to. I've seen projects where people use, for example, Tailwind, and then have Post CSS for that and for auto prefixer and for some other stuff, but then they add SAS as well because I guess they like it and they have existing stuff they want to reuse. I personally don't really see myself having the need for SAS anymore if I'm already using Post CSS. but again, I might be a bit biased in that because I have I usually use Tailwind, so I already have Post CSS in the project. So for me, it's not really a choice of do I use SAS or Post CSS. It's more like do you want to put SAS on top. And I'd be curious to hear about you if you think that there's probably a Post CSS plugin for. I'm assuming there is one for anything you can do in SAS pretty much at this point. What would for you be the reason to use one or the other? Because I think apart from the file extension, of course, and the way it's set up in how you build your front end and some of the syntax, it's pretty much the same thing that it tries to do. Like when you're actually developing, you're doing the same thing. You're using, if you're not using custom properties, you're using the Post CSS or SAS variables. You can write functions and mixins if you want to. You can nest, you can do all those. It's pretty much the same thing. So I'd be curious to hear what would sway you in one or the other direction if you'd set up a new project today or next year and you have to kind of pick what to go with for your styling setup.
I think if I started up a new project, I don't think I would be looking at SAS at all. Again, just because I think I've outgrown it, sort of, you know, as you say, some of these niceties are part of Post CSS. And of course, depending on what project I would start up, Tailwind is a good, you know, would be good to include depending on, of course, what you're building. And then you sort of get it already there, the Post CSS bit. And that's just me, of course, because I'm not too deep into the whole styling bit and stuff like that. So So maybe I'm also just a little unaware of some of the newer things and how you use them and syntaxes and fallbacks and what like that. So for me, I think mostly I would just write vanilla CSS and then maybe have the enhancements, you know, auto prefix or maybe. So I think it's very light for me, but I don't think I'm going back to SAS in any way. That would be if you took over a project and it's there as a legacy thing. You know, that's just it. But yeah.
So you and me, Kevin, have also been talking about this a couple of times and had some good discussions. And I think I'm probably also at a place right now where I don't see the need for SAS as much anymore. But in the beginning, I must admit that I was a bit like, we can't just skip SAS, you know. It's a good old good old player, and it's needed. Of course, it's needed. But I'm having my doubts now because there are so many plugins that cover all the features for SAS. Another thing I'm thinking about, like the only concern I could have or like consideration would be something about like if you have a project that will scale like a lot, like to be having a lot of CSS and a lot of files and a lot of things to be compiled, then I don't know about the speed because SAS is more like a binary thing, like it's a compiled at a different level, where PostCSS is more like a Node.js JavaScript thing, which is fine in most cases, but I don't know. If you scale it up, there might be some things. I haven't looked into it, but that would be something I would consider if I knew that there was a really, really big project coming where there would be a lot of CSS. But I don't know. It's speculation. So I'm most on the post-CSS team, I think. So yeah,
that's a really good point. I haven't looked into the performance either, or the build part of it. If there would actually be a big difference that you would notice at some point in bigger projects. But one thing that I just got reminded of since you talked about build stuff, one thing I do like about PostCSS is if it has its own config file where you can also do it inside Webpack or whatever, but you can also have an external config file where you add all these different packages and stuff, and then it's fairly easy to include it into, for example, a Webpack or whatever you're using or feed. Whereas with SAS, I think there's like two main big packages you can use, right? In your build step, there's the Node.sass and the Dart.sass, I think. And personally, I've been using Node.sass quite a lot, and I've had a lot of issues with that because with Node versions and dependencies and stuff, I run into a lot of issues. And I think that's where PostCSS is maybe a bit more modern because it takes the JavaScript approach. And for me, that's always been pretty much plug and play. I never had any issues with versioning, things like that. So the build step is definitely something to consider. And I'm not sure about like the development or the speed of it when you're developing and building. It would actually be nice to look into at some point if anyone has done some comparisons on very big files.
I was just going to add to that, actually. And it's funny that you mentioned, Kevin, you mentioned both libsass, which is the Node.sass one, and then Dart.sass. And I think from what I've read, Dart.sass is the official one now. So that's the one that gets new features and stuff like that. The other one is not supported anymore in that way. Also because I think Dart.sass is compiled down to JS, so it also runs JS. And as for benchmarks, I found someone who did some benchmarks, so take these with a grain of salt. I found them on GitHub. They're a couple of years old, so things might have changed. But PostCSS is actually a lot faster than SAS in these, around twice as fast. And again, take that with a grain of salt. But it's pretty cool. And I think actually early on, I heard some people's, you know, pros and cons and stuff like that as PostCSS grew and got the plugins for the functions and stuff like that, especially. Then people sort of swayed that way, first of all, because it was faster, but also because they could extend it like this, where you can't really extend SAS anyway. You sort of have to depend on what they have provided for you.
Great. I think that was a good discussion on the post CSS SAS or other preprocessor. I mentioned SAS mainly because it's the one I've been using the most and I've seen used in most of the projects at the company, but there's of course others. I think Paul, you wanted to add something.
Yeah, it's just I just remembered a funny story about this whole especially auto prefixer thing early on in our project days, because and I think me and Mikkel talked a lot about Grid back then. It was like when it was just surfacing, and we were still supporting IE11, and IE11 actually also has a grid implementation, but it did not have the new one, so the syntax was different. But the auto prefixer project had a what do you call it? Yeah, a grid plugin, or they supported it, and it was really, really extensive. I remember looking into it, and I actually think across updates as well. Like they did a huge update that fixed a lot of things. But we actually tried that out so that we could get some grid stuff working between, you know, our new package for the Evergreen browsers, and then we could still support IE11 grid-wise, you know, pretty well at least, and it would do its best. You know, auto prefixer would do its best to get the syntax working for IE11 as well. I think one of the tough parts were stuff like gaps and stuff like that, because that was not supported in the old syntax and stuff like that. But it did a really good job, and I was just amazed at the work they did with it, like, you know, what you could do with it. And I think that was the first, like, wow moment I got with, well, I guess specifically auto prefixer, right? But the PostCSS bit of it. So that was just a funny story. You know, I mean, it was... like using the grid bit there was probably overkill for what we were doing at the time, but we wanted to try it out. At least it was a small part of the project, so it wasn't really any breaking stuff, and we had the time for it. So it was a fun little POC to do.
Yeah, nice. Sounds great. Cool. I think that was pretty much it for the CSS talk for today. Since it's our last episode that's going to come out this year, 2022, we also just wanted to do a little recap of the year, both what we talked about in this podcast, but also maybe some personal experiences development-wise. So what have we learned? What has happened this year? I guess a Christmas/New Year's wrap up for this show. So, do any of you guys want to start with what have you, what's been kind of maybe the highlights of your year, or what have you learned, and what maybe some stuff you're looking forward to next year?
When I think about the year, like big things that had happened, like things that popped into my mind was the Figma acquisition by Adobe, which I think was a big thing. We haven't felt anything, like nothing has changed as far as I'm aware of yet.
Not yet.
Yeah, we'll see. And then of course also the Twitter acquisition. And that has changed something, I guess. People are moving to Mastodon, so that will be exciting to see over the next half year or a year, like if anyone will stay over there and so on. So we'll see. That's exciting to see. On more personal note, I think I had in my like goals for this year that I would like to look into some stuff. Like I remember mentioning Astro, I think, and I did look into it actually a little bit, but I didn't get to like really get my hands dirty a lot. So, but I looked into it, and I think it's a cool thing. There's a lot of other things I want to try out as well, like Remix and stuff like that. The what is it called, like Enhance or something. So there's an exciting projects going on, so it will be exciting to see, like, in the next year, like which will stay and which will, if any will disappear. I've been. I also wanna keep doing like writing blog posts. I have not been doing that much this year. So hopefully I'll get more time to do that next year. Yeah, and also public speaking will probably be a bit more, I hope. So yeah, but let's see.
Awesome. I think it's funny that you mentioned that. I had sort of forgotten the whole Adobe thing yet. Again, you know, like, of course, as you said, nothing has really happened yet. So there's, of course, that bit about it. But yeah, that was definitely something really big. And also the Twitter thing. I've been a little afraid of that bit, mostly because, you know, Twitter is sort of my main source income of, you know, like I follow things in web and stuff like that. So on one hand, I'm hoping that, you know, everything gets back to a normal state, you know, wishful thinking and all that. But we'll see where we end up. I heard there's also like Mastodon is there, but it's a different experience. I haven't looked into it, so it's just based on what I've heard. So there's that as well. yeah, so that's, yeah. I think personally for me, I'm looking into accessibility this year, a little less than I had hoped for, I guess. But that's how things go. I think it's really re-energized me. It's a very hard topic, and it doesn't just span what I do with, you know, components and stuff like that as well. It's a very broad thing, right? And I think learning that and talking about it, I think is really, really cool. So I want to do more of that. So that's going to continue next year, of course. But it's just a really, really exciting space for me to work in. I think I'm pretty set, and you know, a lot of things are going on in Angular as well. So of course, following on with that, but that is just also because the project I'm on is Angular. So there's that. And that's related to some of our funnier topics, pizza, right? Because I had an anniversary and my good colleagues gave me a book on cooking with fire for my uni pizza oven. So I'm looking forward to summer already. I know winter's barely just started, but I'm looking forward to summer, and I'm gonna play around with some dough and make some good pizzas. So I'm actually really looking forward to that as well. I think web is just moving, I think, really, really fast, as we just mentioned a lot of the CSS things. And I'm just looking forward to, you know, like sort of seeing like how quick are the browsers to pick up on these things. I think container queries is quite a big thing, right? And we're nearly there. So some of them has it behind Flagstaff, of course, but yeah, we're nearly there, and I think that's cool. And then podcast related, I think we've had a lot of fun this year. We've become better at being steady on episode releases. So that's been a lot of fun. And also, I think it's been a major privilege to have two great guests on this year. So that's definitely, as Kevin also mentioned earlier, something that we will do next year as well, coming up, if we can find some interesting people to talk to and have fun with us on the show. But so far, Thomas and Philip, that's been an absolute joy. And maybe, you know, maybe they'll revisit in the future. We'll see how the format goes, but I'm just really grateful for that as well. I think we're having a lot of fun with this, so I'm just looking forward to next year and all the fun we're gonna have there.
Oh yeah,
great. Good stuff. For me, and then I was thinking, like, what did I actually do this year? Actually, accessibility was also, I haven't like actively looked into it as much as you are, Paul, but it's more on my mind, I guess, when I'm building stuff than it used to, because for us here in Denmark, it is incoming, the laws where we have to apply, no, when you say that, comply to these accessibility things. So it's been, now when I'm building components, it's actually actively on my mind with together with all the other things. So I'm learning a bit. One thing at a time, I guess. That's been really nice. Then I've also I've worked with Vue a lot some years back, and then kind of, I guess, took a break because most of our projects we use some other stuff for these days. But I've Been looking a little bit into Vue 3 and Nux 3 the last couple of weeks, because we're investigating a setup for Umbraco Headless for our front end setup. So that's been fun to kind of get back a bit into that and get back into the ecosystem a little bit, because you mentioned Twitter. I follow a lot of Vue related accounts and people on Twitter, and I see a lot of news, and I'm always like, I want to try this out, I want to do this again. So it's been quite fun. Apart from that, as you said, CSS is moving so fast. It feels like JS has come to, there's of course a lot of new stuff coming out all the time, but feels like JS is at a comfortable place for people. I feel like we have these big frameworks and people kind of get what they need in some way. There's of course always work being done and things improved, but I feel like CSS is the area where we're now focused on in a way in web development. It's like this needs to get forward. That's at least my view right now on things. You mentioned things like container queries, which I'm very excited to actually try out properly. I've only seen it and seen examples and tried out like minor stuff, and I'm very curious how that will work when we actually get to use it in a project, because I'm very excited about it. I also have my concerns, I think, because it does create this dependency in a way on the parent element, and I'm like, I feel like at some point if you use it too much it might get really confusing instead of helping you. So but it is really cool, and I'm looking forward to trying that out.
It's like a with great power comes great responsibility,
yes.
Right,
yeah. It feels like it, because you define those, you know, your own containers, right, where stuff needs to happen. So I think you need to be pretty structured about it, otherwise it's going to get very confusing, in my opinion.
Also, performance wise you need to not make everything a container, because that will mess things up. So you're right, it's really exciting. I think it's only Firefox we're waiting for right now. They have it coming in, not the next version, but next again, like the 109. So that will probably be soon. So that will be really nice. So we need to learn how to do it probably, and what not to do. So it's almost like back when we got media queries and responsive in the beginning, like we need to learn how to do it in this new way. So really exciting.
It's going to be an exciting time, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really exciting indeed. And as Paul mentioned, I'm also looking forward to having some more guests on, which we'll definitely do again. Next year has been really fun having Thomas and Philip on, as you mentioned. And I'm just looking forward to the summer pizza party you're throwing, Paul. After you learned a lot about it from your book and things, so that'll be great.
I'll send out invitations. No worries. No, it'll be great.
Great.
I thought about this for a bit, right? Because I think an honorable mention for us this year. I know we made a lot of fun of it and stuff like that, but I think, you know, Safari WebKit. I think really, you know, it gets a lot of bash, and there's a lot of like, is this the new IE? We had an episode about it and stuff like that as well, right? But looking at least on the JavaScript side, and from what I can see, actually, they've really pushed out a lot this year. I know there are still things where they're behind, and I know that people are after them for the whole PWA thing, you know, all that sort of stuff. But I really think a lot has been going on this year, and I think that's commendable. And I'd like to, you know, what would you say, raise a toast to that? I think it's been pretty cool still. And in a lot of the new JavaScript things, they're actually pretty far up. When you look at it like that. So I think that's cool. Like, again, we're at a point where the browsers are all pretty close. So I think you mentioned it a couple episodes ago as well, Kevin. Like, it's not like you see a new feature and you're like, oh yeah, we can use that in 3 years. It might just be months down the road or half a year or whatever. Like, you know, and I think they are, you know, contributing to that as well.
Oh yeah, I agree. Safari, keep it up. We love you.
Yeah,
nice shout out.
Actually, one last thing I want to mention is that I just looked at when we launched our very first episode, and that was over 2 years ago. So we just passed that was November 2020, so we just passed the 2 year mark. So congrats to us.
Nice 2 year Aww. Anniversary. Great. Maybe you should have that pizza party now then.
It's going to be a little cold, but you're welcome.
True. True. Great. Thank you, guys. It's been really fun talking about both CSS, preprocessors like SAS, Less Stylus, etc., and wrapping up the year. And we're definitely ready for the next one. More topics, a couple more guests, and then we'll hope to all the listeners, but have them listen to our episodes next year as well. So thank you very much, guys, and I think that was it for us for this time. See you.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Code Flitters podcast. If you like this episode, please share it with your friends or add a review in your favorite podcast player. You can also find us on Twitter at CodeSplitters or on our website, codesplitterspodcast.com. Until next time, take care.